the word itself. Notice also, it is an emotion that every one of us in here has experienced at some point in our lives. It is something over which you and I can have complete control if we so desire. Number four, it reacts differently in everyone that it impacts. It's something that can literally paralyze us. If it is not overcome, it can be extremely detrimental as far as our spiritual lives are concerned, and Satan loves to prey upon it. The four-letter word, very simply, is fear. Folks, fear keeps us as members of the body of Christ from doing a lot of important things in the kingdom. You see, fear is something that keeps us from seeking the lost. Fear keeps us from going and restoring those individuals who are erring. Fear keeps us from becoming Bible class teachers. Fear is something that causes some men to refrain from becoming leaders in the body of Christ. Fear keeps us from confronting a brother or sister who trespasses against us, and fear is oftentimes what keeps us from opposing evil. You see, fear is a problem that every one of us can experience. Over the course of 2020, we're doing another series of lessons, and it is entitled, I Am Struggling. And in this lesson, we want to talk about the fact that I am struggling with fear. We've only got three short points. Number one, what is fear? If I were to ask each one of you, give me a textbook definition of fear, you would have a hard time with that. You would say something like this: fear is being afraid, fear is being scared. Now, those are not textbook definitions of fear, but guess what? Every one of us knows fear the very minute we experience it, don't we? Because you see, fear manifests itself in the entirety of our being, and not only in our being, but also in our environment. You see, when there is fear, the environment is filled with gloom. Our minds are impregnated with a sense of dread when there is fear around. The heart begins to beat very fast. The nerves stand on end. Our skin can begin to tingle, and the body may even perspire. Now, when you leave tonight, don't be talking to me about where your body perspires when you're scared, okay? But notice also, breathing gets heavy, doesn't it? We feel a sense of fear, we start to speak words, and our words are agitated, and our words are extremely nervous. I've seen individuals who are scared to death, and their eyes fill with tears. Our bodies can become almost paralyzed when there's fear. We find also that we long to be somewhere else when fear is around, don't we? I'd rather be anywhere than right here at this present time because I sense the fear, and oftentimes we have to make a choice. Either we are going to fight or we're going to flee when we stand in the presence of fear. A textbook definition of fear: a distressing emotion caused by, notice that, impending danger, pain, or evil, whether the threat is real or imagined. Isn't that something? The threat doesn't even have to be real, and you and I can still experience fear. Fear can be caused by little bitty things, can it? Young boy turns 16, and he gets that little plastic card called a driver's license. So he's a big shot now. And he wants to ask that pretty little blonde in his classroom out on a date. And it takes him 3 weeks to do it. And when he does, he is literally scared to death, isn't he? Might even send a couple of notes by friends. You see, little bitty things can cause fear to swell within us. But we can also be fearful of big things, can't we? We walk into the doctor's office, we're examined, we're tested, and the test comes back stage 4 cancer, and the prognosis is very, very slim. In fact, only a few percent make it more than 2 or 3 weeks from this very date. Folks, your mind is filled with fear. Maybe not so much fear of death, but there's other things to fear, isn't there? There's my family and how well they'll be taken care of. There's the thought of pain and anguish and how is all of this going to be paid for? All kinds of things can fill our minds. Sometimes fear can arise from a real danger. We're awakened to noise in the house and we hear someone in another room. They're moving things, they're dropping things, they're opening doors, they're shutting doors, and we know someone is in the house. It is a real threat, isn't it? But it doesn't have to be real. It can be just perceived. We are awakened in our sleep one night by a broken window, and again we think, someone is in the house. Very slowly, we creep to the other side of the house. We enter into the bedroom and a tree has blown over and a huge limb has come crashing through the window. And what we thought was a real threat is really nothing to be feared at all. Fear. All of us have experienced it, haven't we? Let's look secondly at some Bible characters who have struggled with fear. Let me ask you this question. Who was the very first Bible character who is said to have experienced fear? It was none other than Adam. Adam and Eve had sinned, they had violated the will of God. Their eyes were now open to the fact that they were naked, and the Bible says that Adam heard the voice of God walking in the garden, and he was afraid because he was naked and hid himself. Genesis 3:10. Was the threat real? Absolutely. He knew, I violated the command of God. He knew this God with whom he had an association. He knew this was his creator, his maker, and now this God would hold him accountable. I was afraid, he said. Wouldn't you have liked to have seen Adam experience fear for the first time? There was another great man who experienced fear. a king by the name of Saul. And not only Saul, but also all of his armies, did they not? We talked about, oh, Goliath this morning for just a little bit. There he was, almost 10 feet tall, presenting himself upon the battlefield. His armor glistening in the sun and just as big as could possibly be. Give me a man, he says. The Bible says, and when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I sincerely believe that Goliath was nothing more than a perceived threat. Don't you? Oh yes, he looked like a threat. Yes, he looked dangerous. Yes, he looked big. He looked like he could overcome the armies of Israel, but it was just a perceived threat. We'll talk about that more in a little while. Notice too, the apostles were fearful, weren't they? Out in that little boat, and all of a sudden, here comes the storm upon the Sea of Galilee. That little boat was shaking in the wind. That boat was being filled with water. And they run to the Savior and awaken Him. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we perish? He calms the winds, He stills the sea, and He turns to those men. And do you remember what He said? Why are ye fearful? That was the question. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Mark 4, verse 40. That was a real threat, wasn't it? I've been out in some waters that were a little stormy, in a little bitty fishing boat. Water flying up over the front end of that boat. And we've still got about 200 or 300 yards to the shore. I'm just a little kid. I couldn't wait to get to the other side. And yet Jesus questions, why are you fearful? One of those men, a man by the name of Peter, he too manifested fear, did he not? Jesus is arrested. He's taken before the Jewish authorities. And there Peter is trying to be near enough to see what happens. And three times he's questioned, isn't he? On the third time, listen to what they said. Thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. And Peter cursed and swore, saying, I know not the man. Can you imagine the fear that was in Peter's heart that evening? They've arrested my Lord. If they think I am one of the 12, they'll arrest me. And who knows, I might not go home tonight. I might not even be living after tonight. I am not one of those 12 men. I don't even know the man. You see, his fear caused him to be unfaithful to his own Lord, didn't it? If you study the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, you get some indications through those books that Timothy, as a young preacher, may have been put into some situations that caused him to be somewhat fearful. Because over and again, Paul exhorts him to be strong, to be a warrior, to not be ashamed, and to not fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Why did Timothy need such an admonition unless there were occasions when he had manifested a spirit of fear deep within? My friends, you and I are not the only individuals who have followed God who experience fear. It is a natural emotion, but What you and I have to be able to do is we have to be able to overcome our fears, don't we? And that's the third part of the lesson. And it's where I want to spend the bulk of our time. Really, I want us to focus on one point, but we'll cover five in this section. How do you overcome fear? Number one, you overcome fear with knowledge, don't you? Folks, ignorance is a dangerous thing. Ignorance causes us to question. Ignorance causes us to wonder. Ignorance causes us to begin to make assumptions and think things that are not really going to happen. What if you went in and you were told that you needed to have a major medical procedure and the doctor told you nothing more? 2 weeks from today, we're operating on you. See you then. And you go home. There is no internet. There are no books to look up the information. All you know is in 2 weeks, you've got surgery. I'm scared. Aren't you? But that's not what happens, is it? The doctor sits you down. Takes you through that surgery step by step by step by step. May even show you a video of exactly what you're going to go through. I remember when Kimberly was going to have her surgery. She said, one of the things that I did is I got on YouTube and I watched the surgery from start to finish. I ain't doing that. I don't want to see what they're going to do to me. But you see, her seeing that helped her to alleviate the fears. Knowledge causes us not to fear. Number two, we overcome fears with abilities and skills, don't we? There are a lot of people in the church that are very, very smart individuals as far as the Bible is concerned. But guess what? They will never be Bible teachers. You want to know why? They are scared to death to teach because they don't have the skills to teach. It's one thing to have knowledge. It's another thing to be able to take that knowledge and then impart that knowledge to someone else. You see, that's one of the reasons that preachers go to preacher training schools is to learn some skills and alleviate some of the fears of preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ. It's not enough just to have knowledge. I need to know how to present that knowledge, don't I? And the more skills we develop, guess what? The less our fears manifest themselves. So number one, we overcome fear with knowledge. Number two, we overcome fear with abilities and skills. Number three, we can overcome fear just through experience, can't we? You've got no knowledge. You've got no skills and abilities. And yet, you do something over and over and over and over again, and guess what? All of a sudden, there's little fear. When I was a little kid, right down the road from us, about a mile, we could jump on our bikes and we could go right down to the swimming pool, brand new swimming pool. Three diving boards, two low boards, and a high dive. I was cool with the low dive. The high dive was about 20 feet in the air. And I can still remember the first time I stood on that thing. There I was, 20 feet above the water. My dad was over there going, jump, boy, jump. Count to three and jump. One, two, three. Count to three again. This is what I really looked like. Folks, I was scared to death to jump off that board. Finally, one, two, three, after about 20 minutes. And off the end of that board I go. Into the water I was. Up I came. I was fine. Swam to the end. Guess what? Ran around straight up 20 feet right off the end of that board again. And I bet you I did it 50 times that day. By the end of the day, there was no fear. Watch this, Dad. Learn to dive off the board. Learn to do a 1.5 off the high dive. There was no more fear. It wasn't like it acquired a lot of knowledge about jumping off a diving board. It wasn't that it required a lot of skill. All you had to do is be a goofball and walk off the end. But the more you did it, the less fear that you experienced. You see, experience overcomes fear. Number four, overcome fear with encouragement. You see, there are many other individuals who exist who can see in us what we might not be able to see in ourselves. They know we have the talent. They know we have the ability. They know that we can do it. And guess what they do? They encourage us, and their encouragement bolsters our courage and causes us to overcome fear. Kathleen and I went riding our bikes yesterday. Beautiful day. But you know what? I can remember the day that I learned to ride a bike. That bike couldn't have been more than 20 inches above the ground. And I was scared to death every time I jumped on it. But guess what? I wasn't the only one there that day. My mom and my dad were both right there beside me. And guess what they were doing? They were encouraging little Vic to ride a two-wheel bike. I was crying, "Put the training wheels back on." And you know what? Mom and Dad were saying, "No, boy, you can do this. Pedal, Vic. Pedal, Vic." I'd fall over. Mom and Dad doctored me, kissed my wounds, put me right back on the seat. You see, they're encouraging me. They knew you can ride a bike. I'd fall off. They'd run to the ground there. They'd just pick me up. "Good job. Now get back on that bike." Old people chasing a little kid down the street. That's what I thought. My parents were old. They weren't that old when I was riding a bike, but that's what I thought. And they'd run 50 yards, 60 yards, 100 yards right beside me and keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep going. "You're doing good." And guess what? I finally learned to ride a bike and still can. 50-something years later, you want to know why? Because I had somebody standing there encouraging me to overcome my fears, folks. Now, I could take all four of those areas that we just discussed, and we could put biblical principles to them, couldn't we? We need knowledge. We need skills and abilities to overcome our fears. We need experiences, and we also need others to encourage us. But there is one other thing that can help me to overcome my fears, especially spiritually, and it's this: I overcome my fear by faith in God, don't I? Faith, very simply defined, is this: trusting God, trusting His Word. That's all faith is, folks. Putting all of my care into the hands of the Almighty God. That's faith. As I was studying this lesson, I got to asking myself a question. How does faith enable me to overcome fear? What is it about faith that allows me to stand before fear and conquer it? Number one, true faith is stronger than any fear that rises within me. Did you know that? If I understand faith, and if I really possess faith, then my faith is always, always stronger than fear. Number two, faith delivers on the promises of God, doesn't it? You see, in the pages of God's Word, God has given me wonderful, in fact, the Bible says, great and exceeding promises. And guess what? Faith will deliver on the promises. Number three, faith sees beyond the pain, the hardship, the struggles, the suffering. Yes, faith even sees beyond death itself, doesn't it? And lastly, faith respects God more than faith respects the enemy. Now let's look at what we're talking about. David, a little shepherd lad, went to the field of battle with no armor whatsoever. The only thing he stood before that big man called Goliath with was a sling and five smooth stones. But I want you to listen to David as he spoke to Goliath. And David said unto the Philistine, "Thou comest unto me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." Now listen to him. "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Folks, faith is stronger than the enemy. You see, David knew that. Yeah, you've got a sword. Yes, you've got a shield. Yes, you've got a spear. But guess what I've got? I've got faith in my God. And he knew that his faith was stronger than Goliath. And guess what? Goliath, one strike of a stone, and comes tumbling to the ground, doesn't he? Number two, Esther. I find Esther an interesting example because there was a time when Esther was fearful, wasn't she? An evil man had caused a king to make a decree that all the Jews should be destroyed. Every Jew. Mordecai encourages Esther. "Esther, you've got to go in before the king. You're in a position as the queen to save our nation." There was only one problem. She hadn't stood before that king in 30 days. And if you hadn't graced the presence of the king in 30 days and you entered into his presence and he did not extend to you the golden scepter, your life would be taken from you. She knew that. She even communicated that back to Mordecai. And Mordecai says, "You must go. Who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Now my question is this: what was it? What was it that caused Esther to go? Listen to what Esther says. She tells Mordecai, "Gather together all the Jews that are in the palace Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I and my maidens will fast likewise." Now listen to this. "Then will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." You know what she just did? Her faith looked beyond death, didn't it? Oh, yes. The threat is real. There have been others whose lives have been taken by the king, who were not accepted. And Esther resolved herself to death, did she not? If I die, I die. But I'm going to die faithful. I'm going to die for my people. I'm going to die doing everything I can do to save them. And God will take care of the rest. You see, faith looks beyond the struggle, the pain, the hardship, even death itself, and perseveres, doesn't it? Remember those three Hebrew youths? They were going to be thrown into the burning, fiery furnace. They didn't fear the furnace at all. I bet those men never shook one bit. Because here's what they told King Nebuchadnezzar. Our God, whom we serve, O king, is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. It's pretty bold, isn't it? Daniel 3, verse 17. Not a lick of fear, not an ounce of fear. Why? Because I know my God can deliver me from this particular disaster. Faith trusts in who? The promises of God. I will deliver you, God said. How about this one? The apostles of Jesus Christ. They stood before a high court of authority, did they not? And they told that court very plainly, we're going to trust our God. And we're going to respect His will more than we respect you. Isn't that what they said? We ought to obey God rather than men. Acts 5:29. You see, when you and I possess Bible faith, true faith, sincere faith, folks, we become like these people. And there is no fear which stands before us that you and I cannot overcome if we keep our faith in God. There is no fear that can overcome us. Fear doesn't look good any way you wear it. But courage is always a beautiful garment, regardless of who is wearing it. That old lion's not the prettiest thing in the world, is he? Let me tell you what, courage looked pretty good on him, didn't it? As we close, I want to ask a question. It's very simply this. Do you see our Lord fearing anything? Is there anything that would stand before our Lord and cause our Lord to fear? Can you think of anything? Human enemies? No. The elements? No. There he was in that storm, sound asleep, and he knew all I got to do is talk to them. They'll calm down. He's not scared of the wind. He's not scared of hurricanes. He's not scared of tornadoes. He's not scared of coronavirus. What about this one, the animal kingdom? He's not scared of the animal kingdom. He proved that with Daniel, did he not? Just throw him right there amongst all those hungry lions, and guess what? Nothing ate Daniel that day. He's not scared of the animals. What about this? Is he scared of death? No. Because he is life, is he not? Is he scared of Satan? Absolutely not. Folks, I want you to think about that. There is nothing, nothing, nothing that brings fear to our Lord. Now think about this. If I can hide behind Him who has no fear, then guess what? I have nothing to fear. Nothing. There's a beautiful passage in the Psalms, Psalm 118, verse 6. It's composed of three very simple statements. Listen to them one by one. Number one, the Lord is on my side. Isn't that a wonderful statement? Think about that, guys. The one in whom there can be no fear is on what? He's on my side. The writer knew that. And it caused him to write the second statement. I will not fear. I just won't do that. And then he asked a question. What can man do to me? When the Lord's on my side, I have absolutely nothing to fear. Folks, if you're struggling with fear, put the Lord on your side and develop your faith in the Almighty God and hide behind the one who has no fear. One thing that I always find interesting is that sometimes it's fear that keeps individuals from obeying the gospel. Do you know that? Fear of what somebody will say. Fear of responsibility after a person becomes a Christian. Folks, you've got nothing to fear. Not if God's on your side. Do you need to obey the gospel tonight? You can through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism in water for the forgiveness of sins. Dear Christian, maybe there's something in your life that you struggle with that causes you fear. We've got nothing to fear. Because as the psalmist said, the Lord is on my side. Is there sin in your life? Do you need to repent of that sin, that transgression? Won't you do that as together we stand and sing?